check to call the special board meeting.
Whether this is the 1405th board meeting or whether this is a continuation of the 1404th, but I ask that the minutes properly reflect. Special meeting. It's not the numbered meeting. Two things we want to do.
Mr. Chairman, we have a certification.
First thing is certification of today's executive session.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that at today's first, just concluded board executive session of March 12, 2015, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any objection?
No.
Certification is in order. Secondly, is there a motion to go forward with the agenda?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Two things we want to accomplish this morning and this afternoon, should not take a long time. I'd like to ask the CEO to give us a quick update on what we've been doing safety-wise over the last few weeks and the progress that's being made, and then we will move to a resolution to amend the docket that was put forward for fair increase in service cuts. So I'll describe that when we get to it. But first, Mr. Requa.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. First of all, I'd like to take this opportunity to update you on a couple of items. The FTA safety inspection first. I want to take advantage of this extra meeting to provide the board with an update on the Federal Transit Administration safety management inspection, as well as the 10 early safety actions that Metro initiated following the January 12th Lafont incident. First, the FTA team came on board at the beginning of this month and is now reviewing our training and operating practices against their new safety management system to make sure that we are meeting the established standards of safety. The FTA's new safety management system is comprised of four pillars: safety management and policy, safety risk management, safety assurance, and safety promotion. The first round of meetings involved interviews with members of Metro's executive leadership team, as well as Board Chairman Downey, to better understand the culture of safety that's been established here at Metro. This week, the FTA is meeting with the Tri-State Oversight Committee to discuss its responsibilities when it comes to reviewing Metro safety performance, and next week, the FTA will turn to Metro for a review of our rail system. This will include FTA members shadowing some of our safety critical employees and will involve a thorough review of the Rail Operations Control Center. The rail safety review will focus on a number of specific areas: rail operations, rail vehicle maintenance, signal and train control, traction power, track and structures, engineering and capital projects, and elevators and escalators. The following week, the FTA team will move over to our bus operations. This is the first time that the FTA has involved bus in an audit of the Metro system, and we welcome this broader view. The FTA will wrap up its on-site work by the end of March, and we expect a report to be issued approximately 2 months later. The FTA has so far expressed appreciation for our cooperation in the process, and we will continue working openly and supportively as we move into the field portion of this review. In regards to the early safety actions, now, as the board knows, 10 safety actions were identified by Deputy General Manager of Operations Rob Troop in January. Based on our own evaluations, the actions were designed to improve emergency response and the system's state of good repair. As of the end of February, all 10 actions have been addressed, with some items requiring follow-up work that is now underway. For example, new instructional signs for first responders has been designed for the outside of Metro rail cars, and the installation is underway. With nearly 1,100 rail cars in our fleet, we expect the installation to be completed by June. The new signs clearly identify emergency doors and release handles and will help first responders reach our customers as quickly as possible during an emergency. Another safety action was the development of an enhanced schedule for full-scale emergency drills to give first responders more opportunities to practice in the real-world operational conditions. These drills complement our regular schedule of training, which already includes at least one full-scale drill a year. The trainings will take place over the next 3 years in all local jurisdictions, and the first two drills, one to be conducted in the district and one in Maryland, are being finalized for this spring. Another completed action is the inspection of all 2,640 jumper cables in underground locations. 24 cables, less than 1% of those inspected, were identified as needing replacement, and those locations are now being prioritized. 12 jumper cable replacements have been completed already, and the remaining 12 are expected to be finished by the end of this month. We also investigated the need for protective covers for the third rail jumper cables, which are exposed to damaging water, oil, and debris. We have completed an engineering review and approved a design for a new protective device. The next step in this process is fabrication. The early safety actions also included a review of Metro's use of low smoke, zero halogen cables, an operational analysis of running trains at 45 miles an hour in the core, and a report on the use of different smoke detection technologies available for our underground system. All of the reviews have been completed and will provide valuable direction as we move forward with the system improvements and priorities. The National Transportation Safety Board has been updated on all of the completed actions and will be included in their analysis. There's still much work to be done. We remain engaged with the NTSB and the FTA, and we're working with the American Public Transportation Association to begin a peer review of the Rail Operations Control Center in the next month. All of these reviews will help us make the Metro system safer and strengthen our culture of safety. We look forward to the reports and actions that follow. And Mr. Chairman, this concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Requa. Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mr. Requa? I'll just note that each of these actions that are ongoing will now become part of the monthly review that we have with corrective action plans so we can track progress.
You'll be getting regular updates on monthly
in the context of our regular review of all safety measures that are going forward.
Absolutely.
And with respect to those actions that were reviews as opposed to actual doing of something, I would be interested to hear what the outcome of those reviews were, not just that you've done them, but where does it lead us? In what direction? So if you can provide that to the board.
We'll try to provide completion dates on these actions as soon as we have them.
Completion on actions, but some that are just saying, here's what we might do or here's why we will do it. We'd like to see what that's telling us. But I think there's been good response here, good actions that are being taken, and hopefully each one of them makes this system a safer place, an even safer place. Yes, Mr. Bolger.
Just a follow-up question, Jack and Ray. Rob, of the 1% of the cables that were found to be replaced, what was the condition that you found them in? Were they
There was a various number of conditions on those. Some of the jumper heads where they're connected might have been crushed a little bit. There was water intrusion to some of them. Some of the cables were had actually been disconnected. Some of the cables had some of the insulation worn off of them from cuts. So there was a various number of items of issues with those.
Normal wear and tear?
Normal wear and tear, yes.
Shouldn't that have been picked up in regular track inspections? Or
The cables themselves are not done through the track inspections.
The track inspections.
Our track inspectors do not look at the cables themselves.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Somebody's inspection, yeah.
Well, yeah, there we are looking at absolutely providing inspections. It won't be the track inspectors themselves, but again, as we look towards just regular self-inflicted regulatory processes that we want to go through to be able to do precisely that.
Okay. Any other questions for Jack?
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for the report. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Gould.
Just want to make mention of the fact that the other hat I wear is the chairman of the Council of Government, Board of Council of Governments, and we want to thank again WMATA staff and TSB and others that were at a board meeting a month ago at the request of the COG board members to have a conversation, a dialogue relative to protocol and processes. And one of the real big takeaways from that the presentation was the need to have and enhance and improve not just with COG, but regionally public safety communications. And I don't recall if I heard the CEO make mention of that, but certainly that is something that I know that we're all working on, because we want that to be high priority, but more importantly, not its communications and its the transparency. So I would like to think that that is something that is ongoing, not just with the District of Columbia, but with all of the where we have a system flowing throughout the region.
Questions? Do you have a comment?
I appreciate your mentioning that, and I think Mr. Goldman and I will be having a discussion regarding safety committee meeting and the opportunity of a future.
My hope is that at a very early safety and security meeting, possibly the one in 2 weeks, if not the one after that, we could have the representatives of the various COG entities that are looking at this at the safety committee, talking about what we all collectively have to do. And I'm also meeting with Chuck Bean on Monday to get a sense of where he is. So we care about that. We can't function without the services that the emergency responders bring. They need the tools to do their job, and we all have to work together to make sure they have the right tools at the right time.
If I can just comment, Mayor Ewell, the results or the continued efforts that were discussed at the Council of Governments meeting are ongoing. Chief Pavlik is working with the jurisdictions in the form of radio testing and standardization of reports, getting those information to Mr. Troop and his people so they can receive immediate response to correct any issues that arise, and certainly discussing with the other jurisdictions any other concerns that we have, and be happy to report to those at the Safety Committee meeting.
So no other comments, we could move to the action item on the agenda. At the last board meeting, as part of the 2016 budget adoption process, we reached the conclusion that between administrative actions that WMATA would be taking and modest increases in subsidy that the jurisdictions felt confident they could provide, we did vote to remove fare increases and most service reductions from the docket for the public hearings that need to be held, which really means those measures would not be available when we adopt the budget, but we're confident that we can get to a budget without them. We did, in that action, authorize public hearings on certain fare and fee changes, certain Maryland bus service changes, and the draft capital improvement program, the last one needing to be done so we can apply for the federal grants that would support that. We have a new policy of applying for federal grants on a timely basis, and this is an important step in getting there. Since last month, Maryland has determined that the limited set of bus service changes should instead be presented and evaluated as part of our usual annual set of state of good operations bus service adjustments that are considered as service matters, not as budget matters, and they've asked that, at least I assume they will offer a motion to remove those Maryland bus service changes from the public docket for the coming hearings. With the removal of these changes, the only proposals remaining for consideration on the docket are an increase in parking fees at Minnesota Avenue, the elimination of the TLC card, which is a method of fare collection that becomes impossible when we change the method of fare collection, the extension of the hours for which we collect parking fees, and the draft capital improvement program. I don't think we will have a large turnout for this hearing, but we'll work to see that we do appropriately what we have to do. And with that, I would ask if someone wants to move the approval of removal of the Maryland bus service changes from the public hearing docket.
I would so move for the removal of the Maryland changes from the public docket.
Is there a second? Second. Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Just the only discussion would be one of the factors that led Maryland to do this was a consultation with staff, where staff found that also on a preliminary analysis based on Title VI, that there might have been a disproportionate effect on minority and low-income bus riders. So in their recommendation was it would be better to look at all these changes in a broader package of changes from all the jurisdictions, and we agreed after reviewing the data that that would be the best way to proceed.
Which is an indication that Title VI analysis that we go through is not a paper exercise.
And a worthwhile
exercise. Right, and a worthwhile exercise. Yeah. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The docket will be further slimmed. We can now state, so not quite what we said last time, we can state there are no fare increases and no service changes to be considered. We still have a budget ahead of us, but we're going to work together as a region to figure out how to get ourselves to the balanced budget that we need in the timely fashion that we need it. So I thank you for taking a few minutes here for a special board meeting. I will now defer to Mr. Yost.
Have a comment just to make with regards to the manager's complete budget request, $1.3 billion. On page 19 of 20, the budget is being balanced with $20 million coming out of the capital budget, but that's not shown on the table. Can we get that corrected?
We'll see that when we come to a budget adoption in May. It's a fairly nuanced thing we're doing. We are not taking our capital money and spending it on operations. That would be a bad thing to do. What we had done with work through the jurisdictions is reanalyze the cash needs during 2016 for the ongoing capital budget, capital expenditure program. You'll recall when we had the discussion with the general manager, doubt was expressed that $1 billion would be spent in 2016, given past history. The capital budget has been scrubbed down to a realistic number of what will actually be spent. This doesn't mean removing projects. It means looking at timing and cash needs. At the Finance Committee meeting and at the board meeting, what we determined was jurisdictions have some degree of funds they provide to us that are flexible enough that they could be budgeted for or spent for operating or for capital, and that reducing the draw of capital money would free up the ability to put a little more into the operating side, even as we're working to reduce the budget. So the consensus was we can make it through in this fashion, but it's not a direct spending out of our capital program for operating needs.
Thank you.
Thank you. So nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting of the board and turn it over to the finance chair, Mr. Downs, to deal with the finance committee.